Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good to talk to you.
We are going to talk about vaccines, but not the C vaccine that we've all been waiting for, the COVID vaccine. We're going to talk about human papillomavirus. HPV is a sexually transmitted pathogen. Our listeners will know that it causes both anogenital warts. It causes anogenital and oropharyngeal disease in both males and females. Persistent viral infections with high-risk HPV genotypes can cause virtually all of the cancers of the cervix and many of the penis. High-risk HPV genotypes are type 16 and 18. They cause about 70% of all cervical cancers worldwide. That is those two types. When we add in types 31, 33, 45, 52, and 58, they cause collectively an additional 20%. So we need to do something about this. And along came the HPV vaccine. These vaccines were developed to protect against the acquisition of the virus and the development of the diseases that follow. Lots of these cancers take a long time to develop. In the U.S., the 9-valent vaccine, often called Gardasil 9, is available, and it targets the same HPV types as the quadrivalent vaccine, that is 6, 11, 16, and 18, but it also adds in the other 5 types that I am not going to read to you again. All of these prophylactic vaccines are designed to prevent initial infection and the subsequent infections that we've talked about. So while the vaccines looked good during their development, the question is, do we have any long-term data now after they've been approved that they actually reduce these cancers? It's been a while, and there's a study that's looked at this. It was published in the New England Journal in 2020. It starts on page 1340 of the New England Journal, and it attempts to answer the question, is the HPV vaccine associated with a lower risk of invasive cervical cancer? Mark, does this thing that we've been doing actually work?
Yeah, I love Scandinavia. You know, I have to say they, for many reasons, they're lovely countries. They're, you know, very interesting cultures, but they do such a great job of tracking health data. Basically, the entire country is a health database. And so the Swedes have this huge registry. And yeah, as you said, we don't have randomized trial data or data in the U.S. on does this HPV vaccine actually prevent invasive cervical cancer? The Swedish study used data from one of their national health registries. More than 1.6 million girls and women between the ages of 10 and 30 are in it. And this was data from between 2006 and 2017. In Sweden, HPV vaccine was offered for girls aged 13 to 17 starting in 2007. And then they expanded it to younger and older girls and women in 2012. The cervical cancer screening with a pap smear starts at age 23 in Sweden and then is performed at intervals of 3 to 7 years, depending on age. They used a quadrivalent vaccine like the one you described. So these researchers looked at these registries with information about cancer diagnoses and vaccination. There were a total of 1.1 million patients who didn't get an HPV vaccine, while about 500,000 got at least one dose during the study period. At baseline, girls who were vaccinated were more likely to have a Swedish-born mother, come from a high-income family, so you have to adjust for those things in the analysis. The primary outcome was the ratio of invasive cervical cancers between vaccinated and unvaccinated girls. And it was, again, adjusted for age, the year of immunization, parental and residential characteristics like income. The crude incidence rates were 5.3 per 100,000 person years unvaccinated and only 0.73 per 100,000 for those who got vaccinated. This is incidence rates for invasive cervical cancer. So much lower in the about 1/6 as low in the vaccinated group. The fully adjusted IRR in incidence rate ratio was 0.37 for invasive cervical cancer. For girls vaccinated before age 17, it was much lower, 0.12. Those who were vaccinated later had less benefit. It was 0.47. So bottom line, at least in this observational study, but well done, large, carefully done HPV vaccination is associated with a significant reduction in the likelihood of invasive cervical cancer, particularly if the vaccination is done before the age of 17, before the age, obviously, of sexual activity, initiation of sexual activity in younger women.
Yeah, so we won't talk about the fact that why wait till 17 if you're going to do it before sexual activity. But, you know,
right, 13 to 17. Yeah, that they're saying 13 to 17.
Okay. I'll buy that. This is obviously a hot topic in a generic sense. And it is nice that long-term studies like this do show that we've actually been having some benefit. And, you know, just a reminder that none of these vaccines are absolutely home run and protect every single person. But, you know, the magnitude of benefit here looks to be very significant. And, you know, again, unless there was a serious contraindication, I think I would be loath not to immunize my son or my daughter.
Yeah, and it's really going to affect our policies around cervical cancer screening going forward. You know, how will we screen? How much will we screen? Who will we screen? Will we be more aggressive about screening women who chose not to get the vaccination? You know, so I think that there are questions coming down the road as HPV vaccination becomes much more widespread in the population.
And again, the issue that we're dealing with COVID, which is how do you assure penetration to all people mm-hmm. equitably so that this isn't something that you see just in people that can afford the vaccine or have good insurance, but this is something that is disseminated broadly.
Yeah, I think, you know, with HPV vaccine, with lots of vaccines, like a measles vaccine, what you see is there may be a 94-95% penetration adherence at a state level, but then when you look more locally, you see very like up in the Bay Area of California, Marin County, you had very low levels of adherence. In other areas, you had very high adherence. I think we're going to see that with COVID vaccine, probably in more well-to-do communities. We might see where there's better, maybe more trust in the health system, less anti-vaxxer sentiment. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it rolls out at a local level.
Absolutely. Lots of factors at play here. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.